Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans.
$829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See home club for details.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition's starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. A-man, no rain from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A-game, better bring your A-game. Competition's starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game.
A-mate, no rain. Hey, now it's the Mike and JD Show, and I'm your host, Mike Gilbert, and I'm joined, as always, by JD, by God Oliva. How you doing, JD?
I'm all right, man. It's kind of funny. I did a JD Oliva project over the weekend where I talked about the movie I went and saw this weekend. I saw Nosferatu, the silent film, the silent vampire film remake, and boy, was it weird. But I really liked it, and it was funny. I put it on my Facebook page. I'm like, hey, I saw Nosferatu. I have thoughts. And Dave from Superhero Speak was like, well, what are they? I said, well, you can find out by spending $5 a month by joining the Mike and JD Show Patreon. And he was not sharing that story with my wife. I said, people got to pay for my thoughts now. And she said, she made me laugh. She goes, here I am sitting here listening to your thoughts for free like a chump. And I had a good laugh about that. I'm like, that was pretty good. So kudos to the wife on that one.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. So that movie Nosferatu has a bit of buzz. I think that's going to be a VOD, video on demand at home. Mike, I'll check that out, but not going to the theater with that one.
I don't think you're going to like it.
No,
it's art housey as fuck. Like super, super weird. Like I went with my buddy Joe, who did the Batman review with me a couple months ago. Yeah. We went and saw that, and we looked at each other, and I'm not kidding you, six times one of us looked at it and went, this is weird. Like, and I like art housey stuff, and I liked it, but it was a weird movie. Like, it's weird. It's like the like Dracula, a lot of Dracula stories kind of devolve into like dark love story kind of thing. And I kind of hate that about vampire movies. This is not like a love story. This is kind of rapey.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's a little coercion-y. It's we have like one of the most vile villains in film history, I'll say that. But I mean, it's it's a thing.
Yeah, so maybe I won't watch that one, because as soon as you said it's art housey, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds I know your tastes, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not completely anti art housey, but I think a lot of times they're just going for making an artistic movie versus making a good movie that people can enjoy, right? And you can enjoy movies that are artistic at the same time, but sometimes they lean way too much into one area versus the other. And I hate movies that are very clearly Oscar bait, and I'm not saying that's what this movie is.
This is very much not Oscar bait. Like, have you seen The Lighthouse or The Witch or Northman? Have you seen any of those movies?
No, but I did get a good review of The Northman by Brad, a listener of ours. And so he said that he recommended it. Said it's a bit, I can't remember what he said it was, but he said that he really enjoyed it and he was watching The Lighthouse next, because I guess it's made by the same guy.
Same guy, that's why I mentioned those movies, yeah.
Okay.
Like, they're dark, they're different. Like, I respected it that they're different, you know? And I like the original, I just went off. If you listen to the Patreon, I did about 35 minutes, almost 40 minutes on it.
Yeah.
And like, I was driving, so I had some time to just really pontificate and navel gaze, which is kind of nice about doing these things. So like, I got into like some history of this stuff. I really like that, the whole light story and property. So it was interesting, but I'm like, I don't know. I'd like to hear your thoughts on it, but just knowing you, I don't know if this is a movie you'll dig, quite frankly.
Yeah. I'm trying to think back to all the movies that I watched during the year, and I bet my top five, if I go back and actually look at all the movies, like the new movies that came out in 2024, if I looked at them, they would be probably vastly different than your like favorite movies, like your top five, I would assume. And I do think it would be like similar stuff, but I'm more of a like 90 minute action movie guy.
Yeah. So, yeah. I like that stuff too. Here's my thing though, is like, I have this film school degree, right? And like, I do enjoy those kind of things, but it's hard for me to see them because usually if I go to the movies, it's like the blockbuster, right? Like, I'll go watch the big blockbuster movie. And like, cause my wife doesn't like those kind of things. Like, she doesn't like the art house films and she doesn't like anything actiony, not anything actiony. She'll watch some stuff, but a lot. No, it's like, she's hit or miss with those things. So if I don't get to see something at the theater, there's a good chance I'm never going to see it. Cause just with life being, you know, tricky right now, like, if I have time to watch a movie, it's usually with the family. We're throwing on something old that we're showing Andy, or like someone like The Fall Guy,
yeah.
You know, that we all can watch, which by the way, was a fun movie. People should watch The Fall Guy.
Name Cannot Be Blank says, personally, The Witch is my favorite Eggers film. Now, who's Eggers?
That's him. That's the director, Robert Eggers.
Okay. Okay. So is he like an M. Night Shyamalan type dude? Is that what we're...
No, he's okay. How would I compare him to? He's kind of like, I guess I could say like an artsier Carpenter in a way, because he's like focusing on horror stuff, but like a Wes Craven-ish, but like artsier. Like, his movies are smart. They're like smart horror. They call them elevated horror movies. And like, they're like, The Witch is a cool movie. It's this movie about a girl who gets accused of being a witch by her, you know, family. And at the end of it, it turns out that their goat that they own is actually the devil. And he's like, well, your family's dead anyway. You want to be a witch? And she's like, sure. And signs his book, takes clothes off. And then like, that's the end of it. And you're like, oh, so, I mean, like, it's pretty fucking dark. Pretty dark.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, everybody came here to listen to us talk about wrestling. So I guess we should probably do that.
Yeah, we're 5 minutes in. We're fine.
Yeah. There wasn't a ton of news as far as like wrestling news, but we are in a new era. We're in a new era of AEW, new era of New Japan. I had the opportunity to watch most of Wrestle Kingdom and most of Wrestle Dynasty. I actually put Wrestle Dynasty on while I was in the gym, and my wife texted me. She's like, why have you been out in the gym for almost 2 hours? And I was like, little did she know, it was like in between sets. I'm actually watching pro wrestling. So, oh, wait a minute. The King is back. We haven't heard from the King, and he's got a super chat.
Thanks, King.
Says, I hope both your holidays and New Year's were awesome. Thanks for the great content y'all put out and the interactions we have. We love you, man. We miss you when you're not here. So welcome back to the chat.
Canada's finest. Thanks. And $5 Canadian. What is that? What is that? Like 25 cents?
Don't insult the man. He just gave us $5. Just
Canadian bucks. I'm not sure what that trade. I literally don't know how that breaks down.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the conversion rate, but where was I go? Oh, so I got a chance to watch most of Wrestle Kingdom and Wrestle Dynasty. So Wrestle Kingdom actually came on at 9 p.m. here Hawaii time, and
that's like reasonable.
Yeah, and I had like a cup of coffee right away, so that way I could, you know, just try to stay up And within like the first hour, because it was the Rambo, the pre-show, like during, after there's a pre-show, in between the pre-show and the main show, there's like a 15-minute lull. They don't just go continuous and like, and like do interviews and do recaps. Like it's just 15 minutes, like nothingness. So during that 15 minutes, I started to doze off. So, and then I ended up, you know, picking back up, and I got all the way through Ta-Nehisi versus Evil. So I finished that. And then I was like, you know what? It's 11:30 PM. I think I'm going to go ahead and try to go to bed. I went to try to go to bed. I laid there for an hour. I couldn't fall asleep. And then I ended up just putting Wrestle Kingdom back on. It ended up almost finishing the show, but I actually fell asleep during Zack Sabre Jr. and Shota Umino, which I don't know. I don't think that was their fault, but from what I'm hearing, it could have been their fault, because I was out within like the first 3 minutes of that match. I passed out.
Yeah. It's not getting great reviews, that one.
No. Yeah. So if you guys watched Wrestle Kingdom, let us know your thoughts, but you know, people are saying that Zack Sabre Jr., man, is not—he is not worthy of a main eventer. He is a mid-card guy in a main event position. But I don't know. Well, I do kind of feel that way. But I like Zack Sabre Jr. He's a good wrestler.
I do too. But I feel like they've Garvined his title reign.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Garvined. Explain what Garvined his title reign means, please, like for that. The young people.
I verbed him. So, yeah. Going into Starrcade 1987, Dusty Rhodes had to make a decision on what they were going to do with the title. Now, rumor and legend have it that Starrcade 87 would have been when Magnum TA finally won the title. Not 86. People think it was 86. I think it was Jim Cornette said it would have actually been 87. So Nikita had wrestled Flair the year before, Dusty the two before. So this is where the 87 is really where the wheels completely fell off of Dusty's reign as Booker, and like New Japan, Crockett's basically in a tailspin at this point. They're losing money. The Bash 87 was a disaster, and they needed to figure something out for Starrcade, because Starrcade was going to be in Chicago that year. So they wanted to have Flair win the belt, but nobody wanted to beat Flair, because then they'd have to lose to him at Starrcade. Yeah. So eventually they came to Rugged Ronnie Garvin, the Hands of Stone Ronnie Garvin,
which is unbelievable, because at that point, like he's not like a star. Like he's a good wrestler, but he wasn't like a major star or anything like that.
Had been a major star in the territory, but at this point he was absolutely a mid-card guy. Like Ronnie Garvin is not what we would think of as an NWA champion. And that's the problem. Like he goes over Flair, and then for some reason, Ron Garvin makes the announcement that he's not going to defend the championship until the rematch with Flair at Starrcade. So Flair is very clearly being booked as the babyface challenger, but it's at the same time, he's the lead heel and leader of the Horsemen. So at that point, everyone knew that Garvin was going to lose his belt back to Flair. It's happened. When famously was Survivor for the pay-per-views, like it was a complete shit show. We should actually talk about that sometime. Maybe next Thanksgiving we can do an overtime on Starrcade 87 Survivor Series 1.
Yeah.
Because there's a story in that, and I'm not gonna get into that. But then so basically Ron Garvin Flair to win the title again. And this basically what it feels like the Zack Sabre title reign is here in New Japan, because he hasn't done much with it since becoming champion. Like he won the G1, but then wins the title at King of Pro Wrestling instead of at the Dome. And then it's just been kind of there.
Oh, name can't be blank. He was literally Miss Atlanta Lively at Starrcade 85 or 86. And 87, he's the champ in the main event. Yeah.
Miss Atlanta Lively.
He's a complete and total, utter kind of a mid-carder at this point in 87, but he was the only one that said yes to winning the title, and he took the title and lost it immediately.
Miss Atlanta Lively is Ron Garvin in drag.
Yes.
I believe the feud is with Cornette. I forget off the top of my head because it sucked. Like I don't remember. It's not that great. It's nothing to really remember. So yeah,
we try to remove that from our heads. And then Ron Garvin wasn't in the company much longer after that. He ended up having a feud in WWF, I think, a couple years later with Greg Valentine, right?
So, yes, he turned. What happens is Ron Garvin in 88 does turn heel, but not till Great American Bash. So he's around a good half year. And then he debuts for WWF, and I want to say Mania 5. or around Mania 5. So 89, he shows up there and he feuds with Valentine, and then he becomes a job guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's like Jim Brunzel. He's like a highly regarded job guy in the WWF. A guy who was a former NWA World Heavyweight Champion is literally in the ring. Rugged Ronnie Garvin. And people are like, yeah.
Yeah.
Weird.
So name cannot be blank. Notices a Crockett history says he was feuding with number one Paul Jones.
Yeah.
And teaming with Orange Cassidy, or I guess Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant. So Boogie Woogie Man was like, he was a big star. Jimmy Valiant was a big star in Memphis and in some other territories, but by the time we're talking right now, he was essentially like a bottom of the card comedy character guy that was over like crazy, but he was just out there dancing and doing the boogie woogie and stuff like doing like nothing matches for cheap pops and laughs. He was like, you know, just exactly that, just like a comedy dude at the bottom of the card. That's where Ron Garvin was before 1987. So now Zack Sabre Jr., much better wrestler than Ron Garvin. They did actually, yeah, you know,
well, let's yeah, say, they, well, they, it's, know, it's they, so unfair of Zack to say Zack Sabre Jr. Yeah. and Boogie Woogie Jimmy Valiant in the same sentence. Yeah. Like, it's so not even close yeah. to accurate.
Yeah, but he, you know, he did have a really good year this past year, but people just don't see him at that level as far as like being a top guy. And no, I think a lot of the New Japan fans. Now, look, to be honest, if you guys are listening here, we don't talk New Japan very much. It's because we're not actually spun up on New Japan all that much. You know, look, say what you want. AEW signed all their top talent and kind of really destroyed that territory, right? Like, and look, it's capitalism, right? That's what happens when people come free agents. They're going to want to go where the money's at, and so they went to AEW, a lot of them. So that's just how it goes. But
to be fair, in 2016, let us not forget the Wrestle Kingdom of 2016, which is now nine years ago, where Gallows and Anderson, AJ Styles, and Shinsuke Nakamura all basically announced they're going to WWE. Geez, they did it again the same time. So what does Gato do is, okay, AJ Styles is gone. We're going to elevate Kenny Omega. And that worked out pretty good.
Yes.
Okay, Shinsuke Nakamura is gone. What are we going to do? Okay, we're going to elevate Naito. You know, okay, what did they call? What were Gallows and Anderson called in New Japan? They're Bullet Club. Didn't they have a team name? I forget.
They were just called Gallows and Anderson.
Were they just Gallows and Anderson?
Yeah.
Okay, then they basically booked the Tongans, like G-O-D in their spot.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe that wasn't very good, but
but the G.O.D. was over, and they did have a lot of big matches. So.
They did, but they're very boring. They're perfect where they are now. So the point was, Gato found guys, and then when Kenny Omega left, Jay White left, okay, Will Ospreay. You're like, they've always had a guy, and they might have made a guy. This, we'll talk about that later. I was pretty impressed with someone in particular in the shows, I don't know, man. The New Japan has not come out of their coma from COVID yet, right? The company is super cold, and the booking, it's just bleh, you know?
Yeah, so the creation of AEW really hurt New Japan. Did. And then right after that, like, so AEW comes along in 2019, right? And then in 2020 is the pandemic. So, like, they're reeling it during the pandemic. And Japan took that COVID stuff. Like, hey, Mr. Warren Hayes, how you doing, sir?
Thanks for coming.
Japan really took that the COVID protections. They were on, they took it really freaking serious, like far more serious than most other countries. And so the yen drop that tanked their economy, like whole, it was brutal over there. So that also hurt. And then, but then coming out of the pandemic, they lose three of their major stars like right away to AEW, you know, with Ospreay. Jay White was earlier, but Jay White, Ospreay, Okada, Mercedes Moné was kind of there, but she was not really there. She was like,
she did two shows.
Yeah. She was kind of, so I don't really count her, but like those three guys, you know, G.O.D. goes to WWE, but I think G.O.D. had ran its course, you know, in New Japan. I think New Japan was probably pretty happy to let those guys go, to be honest with you.
Here's the problem is that a lot of the guys like the Ren Narita show, like all those young lines that are supposed to be carrying the company now really haven't delivered.
No.
Right. And like, they've been hesitant to really push any of the next wave of guys, right? To really like say, okay, this is like, remember when they pushed Okada the first time in 2012? Like Okada was okay though. And then like he came back and people were like supposed to take him seriously. And the fans were like, don't take him seriously yet. And they made him champion.
Yeah.
Right. And then they really got behind him. So, I mean, they haven't really put the steam behind anybody yet. It's been a while since they just really said, okay, this is young guy is like the man here now. So I think that's part of the problem here.
Yeah. Well, I feel like it just seems to me like just from watching the show and following it loosely, like I have, like I said, loosely, it just seems like Zach, they are getting behind Zack Sabre Jr., but I think the audience is waiting to see who he's going to lose it to. Like they're waiting to see who is next to be elevated out of that crop. Whether it's obviously not going to be Shota Umino because he just hasn't delivered. Ren Narita's in the House of Torture. So that tells you what to think about Ren Narita. Uemura, he's hurt. So, but the guy that I always kind of keep coming back to that I've just every time I see him, it's like he looks like a mega star is Yota Tsuji. Like, and I thought that he delivered on Wrestle Kingdom and Wrestle Dynasty this weekend. I actually enjoyed his match with Jack Perry. I thought that was a pretty good match. And he looked like a much bigger star than Jack Perry. So I still feel like, again, I'm not super hardcore New Japan, but I try to keep up with it as best as possible. And then when it comes to Wrestle Kingdom weekend, I'm usually pretty much all in. And just from what I saw this past weekend, I think Yota Tsuji should be that next guy, that next Japanese-born wrestler to take over.
That New Japan true-born. I feel like people have been saying that for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
But they've just hesitated to get behind him. And I'm not really sure why. I heard some people talk maybe Oiwa is the guy gonna be the guy. Like, I don't know, man. They gotta make a choice with somebody. Yeah. And I don't know. I just don't know. Like, I feel like we've had opportunities, but they haven't really like, and granted, they had a ridiculous amount of talent like 5-6 years ago in this company, yeah. Right? A ridiculous amount of talent. And they don't really have that anymore. And it's just the company's very blasé right now. And I think they could do kind of what Noah did. Noah, you know, I was talking to our buddy Justin, and Noah really got behind a young guy. They put Ozawa on top. They made him the champion. He's kind of a shitbag heel. Our buddies Joe and Rich on the flagship did a long discussion on Noah. They actually were very high on what Noah was doing. I actually called our buddy Justin. I said, hey, man, seems like people are really digging out what Noah's doing now. And he was pretty happy with that. And he's like, hey, man, yeah, they're really giving Ozawa a shot. So I think that sometimes you have to do that. And in Japan, they do that. They do that where they're like, all right, this is the guy now. Like, remember Misawa? Misawa came back with the green. And then Baba's like, this is the guy. Like a month in, they're like, okay, he came back from injury. He's the guy. Like, I think they need to do that again. Just say, all right, this is the dude.
Did you get a chance to see Omos and Noah this weekend?
I didn't watch it, but I did see some of it on Twitter. And it was pretty funny from what I was told.
Yeah. Yeah, so he looks like, again, like a megastar in Noah. I didn't realize he's only 30 years old.
Yeah, he's pretty young still.
Yeah, he's a young guy. I think he could really get over in Japan if WWE lets him stay there for a while, because they're not doing anything with the guy. So so that's why I think it's kind of cool that they're doing excursions now and they're sending their guys. So him and Jack Morris are now the tag team champions. And I thought that was kind of a cool act. I watched the match with Mara Fuji, and I thought that was really fun. It was a fun match. Now, was it a great match? No, but you're not going to get it. Yeah, it goes against the point, but I think they're actually really getting behind Omos. And it seems like they've moved on from some of their older talent. And so Noah might have like something going this year, hopefully.
Yeah, I kind of think the WWE thing is working with Noah, right? Because AEW and New Japan are working together. Noah's kind of need a boost for a bit.
Yeah,
and I actually think having the WWE deal works well for them. Like, because Nakamura can go there and do his Nakamura shtick, which is just like the shadow of Shinsuke Nakamura. Dude,
that brother is cooked.
Yeah, I hate that phrase. But I can't think of a more apropos way to talk about Shinsuke Nakamura than where he's at right now, which is fine. They're losing Dr. Wagner Jr. or Dr. Wagner the third. He's leaving Noah. I don't know if he's going to WWE or not, but
I don't know. I've been a big fan of his.
He's good.
He was a national champion, and he's like a luchador that he doesn't really wrestle like a, he wrestles more American style. He has some lucha spots, but he wrestles more like, you know, American style, and he's got some strong style in him. He's a very, he's a very good wrestler. His brother's not too bad either, Galeno Del Mal. I watched their match over the weekend, and I thought that was a pretty good match. That where Wagner 3, I like to call him Wagner 3. That's what he goes by on Twitter, so that's what I'm calling him. But because El Hijo Dr. Wagner Jr. just makes no sense, like Wagner 3.
It's so hard to say.
Yeah. Wagner 3 for us whites, I think, would be easier if you guys would just do whites. That. So, yeah, but it was a, I thought his match with Galeno Del Mal was actually really good. And his brother's pretty good. His brother's like a pretty beefy dude too. So yeah. I like these Wagner brothers. They're pretty good. But looks like, I don't know where the hell Dr. Wagner or Wagner 3 is going. I would hope that he's not going to WWE. But he said he's going back to Mexico.
Maybe. I mean, like, I don't know. What is he going to do? Just hang out in AAA? Like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, I don't know why you would do that. Like, unless you're just miserable in Japan. Unless you're just absolutely miserable in Japan. You want to go home. Which I get. But I mean... he's good. Like,
he doesn't appear to speak any English. I don't know if he can or not. I don't know. It doesn't appear to speak any English. I think he is the type of luchador that I think could actually get over in America because he's a bigger dude. Like, he's not like huge, but he's like, you know, he's over 200 pounds. He's a pretty beefy guy, real athletic. Great in the ring, lots of charisma. I think he's a guy that could probably get over in the U.S. But back to Wrestle Kingdom and Wrestle Dynasty. So, night one they had 26,000 people, which is outside of COVID, which is like pretty low outside of COVID. And then night two had 16,000 people. I assumed that the AEW night was actually going to be bigger, but I was completely wrong. Yeah.
Well, okay. So, they ran two shows. They've been running two shows for a while. Imagine how much worse it would have been without AEW talent on there.
Well, there wasn't really much AEW talent on night one. So yeah, night two, if they had done night two without AEW, they wouldn't have done night two without AEW.
That's what I'm saying. Like people are like, Joe was talking about this in the flagship. I thought it was funny. People are like, oh, like some of the New Japan fans are like, oh yeah, look how much of a failure this is. It's like, yeah, well, what would it have done without them? Like they have a hard time admitting, a lot of the New Japan fans, that New Japan is super cold right now.
Yeah.
Like the glory days of 2017, 2018 they're over, man. And they got to rebuild, and Gato's dragging his feet trying to rebuild stuff.
Yeah. So they did announce that they signed Takeshita. Takeshita has three contracts, one with AEW, one with DDT, and one with New Japan. But if you're looking for the guy, would be the guy if he could get out of his AEW deal. Like that's who would you build your entire company around if you're New Japan. But, he was great, by the way, over the weekend. His match, Shingo, and then, of course, Ishii, the fucking killed it.
Are you surprised? Like, he wrestled Shingo and Ishii, and he himself is fantastic. Like, yeah. I do agree with you. I think he likes being in America, though. Like, I think that Jeremy said that, too. Last week, we had Jeremy Feinstone on our show. He said they should just put the IWGP world title on Takeshita, and that would be the move. And I can't think he's wrong. I don't think they would because he's not a true born, and they just, I guess Okada being the outlier in that, but I mean, they just typically don't like get all in on guys from other places. Like, you know, look at Shingo. They've had Shingo for years, and he did have an IWGP run, but it was like a gold watch run. You know, I don't know. I can't think they have anybody better, quite frankly. If I were Tony, I'd be like, okay, keep him for a little while. Warren Hayes says soft jump for Takeshita is coming. I can feel it. I think you might be right. And I kind of hope you are because like, who do they got? And I think that helps strengthen AEW too. I think it helps Don Callis's band of misfits, to be quite honest with you. Yeah. If Takeshita is the IWGP champion, he can just kind of stay based in Japan for a hot minute. You know,
I think that would actually make him a bigger star. If he was the top guy in New Japan, he'd make him a bigger star coming over to AEW. When they were able to get dates on him, I think that would actually work out well for him.
Yeah. I mean, he's got the Never title right now, which is like, I don't know, it means about as much as the AEW International title, quite frankly. Like, I mean, if he can springboard those to an IWGP title run and just walk around with that shit, actually that kind of works with the eventual Kenny Omega rematch too, as if Takeshita had just a shit ton of belts.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
So speaking of Kenny Omega, so JD, you didn't get a chance to watch the shows, but you did get a chance to watch Kenny Omega versus Gabe Kidd. And I mean, is Kenny Omega freaking back or is he freaking back?
I told everybody this was going to be great. Like when Jeremy was on the show last week, I said, no, this is going to be real good. Like Kenny Omega knows what he's doing. He sees something in Gabe Kidd. Gabe Kidd could be their next big Gaijin star, which after that match, I think he might be. I fucking love this match. I'm so glad you said it to me. Some madman is going to have his Twitter nuked by, you know, Tokyo Sports.
Yeah.
Like it's sorry, man. It's going to happen.
God bless whoever that guy was that uploaded the whole match to Twitter, because
it
helped our podcast out tonight.
Absolutely. I watched it before the show. It was awesome. Kenny's got it. Like, I think Kenny took some extra time just to make sure he was nice and healthy. He did not look like he missed a step. I said working a brutal hardcore match with Gabe Kidd is going to be a nice, easy transition back. I was right. And I just, we saw what Kenny's able to do. Like,
yeah, no, you were right. Except for the part where you said easy transition. That match was brutal. Like, he took a lot of risks. He did all the old Kenny Omega spots. He wasn't taking any, like, he didn't come into a half-assed match. Like, they did the brawling around the ring, right? Because, you know, Gabe Kidd is basically Buzz Sawyer, right? So they had to do all the brawling stuff around the ring because that's his gimmick. But he still got all the signature Kenny Omega spots. Like, he's doing all the dives over the top rope. All that shit. He did a dragon suplex off the top rope.
15% off everything you can fit inside the bag is back at Menards. Make painting easier by using a one coat product. Grand Distinction is an interior paint and primer in one that will give your home a fresh, updated look. Right now, get 15% off Pittsburgh products and all the painting supplies you can fit inside the bag through January 12th. See store for complete details. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
I'm like, brother, you almost died last year. What are you doing? But he's freaking Kenny Omega. He can't not be Kenny Omega.
Yeah, but he didn't do all of it. You know, like he picked and chose his spots well.
Yeah.
You know, it was a 35 minute match. And like a lot of it was brawling. I do think it was maybe not an easy transition, but it was a great transition back in there. So when we do get him in AEW, all the ring rust's very clearly been worked out. Like it was an excellent match. It was a beautiful way to see Kenny Omega just back. Like it's so heartwarming to see, and I think he did a lot to help elevate Gabe Kidd. Like when Gabe Kidd gave him the two middle fingers and ate that V trigger, it's so perfect for the Japanese audience, because the Japanese audience just loves that. Like we call it fighting spirit, but it's a cliche thing, but it's the attitude of I'm gonna eat this shot, but you can kiss my fucking ass while I eat this knee, because I don't, because fuck you, that's why. Like and that stuff gets over in Japan, and it was like just absolutely beautiful. Like Gabe Kidd kicked out of that V trigger at one and was just like but he knew he didn't have anything left. It was that great, very Japanese, I have nothing else left, but I'm not going to give up until you absolutely murder me, which he did. It was awesome. I absolutely loved it. My favorite match of the year so far in 2025.
yeah. Well, to be fair, you have not seen Shota Umino versus Zack Sabre Jr., so I don't know if you can rightfully say that it's the best match of the year so far.
is Shota Umino one of the most disappointing projects in pro wrestling? Like five, six years ago, people thought he was going to be really special.
Well, you know what? I think that's because they're being propped up by AEW fans, because Moxley was over there calling him Shooter. And you know what I mean? So they just really got behind the guy, because Moxley was with AEW and he was over there and he was like,
Kato did too though.
Yeah. He never really did anything with it, I don't think. So, but they're really trying to elevate the guy, but the crowd has turned against him.
Yeah. Cause they figured out he's not that great and he's kind of lazy in the ring. I mean, I remember when he was at Rev Pro again, I listened to the flagship, so I kind of get what's going on over there, and they were really harsh on him. Like said, he'd gotten kind of fat, gotten kind of lazy. And then he came back to New Japan, and it just, I don't know, man. He never seems to get out of that next gear. Like, it's entirely possible that he just doesn't have it. And they want him to have it. Like, he's got that pedigree, but he just doesn't have Yoda Tsuji's charisma. He's not that great in the ring. Like, he's fine. But yeah. Like, I don't think he's a guy.
He's Sonata. Like, you know,
he's Sonata like. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sonata was on the pre-show this year and he was in the main event last year. So that's how far he's fallen. And he wrestles in a t-shirt now, that's Sonata. So that's where he's at.
So he's following the Naito plan now. I'm just going to wear a shirt to the ring. And
yeah, nice. Naito tanked his performance against Hiromu Takahashi. But then they formed a tag team. So anyway, back to Kenny Omega. So he, David Haley, Mike and JD, how are you guys? Haven't caught you guys in a long while since I started my job as a corrections officer. Are you a corrections officer in Cobb County, Georgia? Because I think that would be fascinating to hear. Because if you ever had a trip to Cobb County, Georgia, you know, you'd be serving hard time, I think.
You must read the signs and obey law and order, or else you'll be serving hard time.
Yeah. But thanks for being here, David Hadley. So, but Kenny Omega is all the way back. I think AEW has the top star that they've ever had. He's completely all the way back right now. Not only is he making himself look good, as you said, he looks like he might have turned Gabe Kidd into something special. He got the nod of approval from Hiroshi Tanahashi as that match, or as the whole thing was ending. Tanahashi looking at him like he almost had like tears in his eyes, looking at Gabe Kidd with pride because he just went to war with one of the greatest of all time.
See, that's, if that doesn't say that we believe in you, I don't know what does. That's what I'm talking about. They need to make a guy. I think in law, because again, in Japan, you can pull this off. In loss, you can really become something special. And I really think that Gabe Kidd's violent, heartfelt performance really put him out. I love when you said he's Buzz Sawyer last week. I'm like, yeah, man, Mike hit the nail on the head. Definitely, he's got those Buzz Sawyer traits, but Buzz Sawyer was a madman. I don't think that I think Gabe Kidd like plays the madman very effectively. Yeah. Buzz Sawyer actually was a complete lunatic.
Yeah, and his character is doing like all the shoot promos and stuff like that. I don't know how well that would get over in the States. He would probably have to, you know, work some of that out. But I think I think that Gabe Kidd could probably get over anywhere. But he's kind of a made guy in New Japan right now. So after seeing Kenny Omega in that match with Gabe Kidd, I'm probably gonna watch that a second time here pretty soon. I might actually, after I get all this shit uploaded, I might just like go back and rewatch it, because I enjoyed it that much. I was thinking to myself, you know, we had the conversation last week about, you know, Kenny Omega comes back at what was it called, World's End? Yeah, AEW World's End. He comes back, and he comes back in the semi-main event segment to confront Kazuchika Okada, and I couldn't just stop but think like, yeah, I want to see Omega and Okada go at it again, but it really should be Omega coming back to dethrone John Moxley. I just I'm so done with the Death Riders. I want to just end the whole thing. I would rather him just come back and kill John Moxley off. That's the greatest feud in AEW history. Those are the two biggest rivals in AEW history. It only makes sense for Omega to dethrone him. I know they want to get Darby over, but this whole thing is dragging out too long. The storyline is dead. It's dragging the company down. I'd like to see Kenny Omega just end the whole damn thing.
I think that might be delayed till Double or Nothing, because like that's a big show for them. I know they're trying to make All In their WrestleMania. If that's their WrestleMania, this is their Royal Rumble. So I think that you want a top match there, and I don't think you got a bigger one, to be quite honest with you. Like, I think you do Moxley versus Cope at Revolution, and then do Moxley versus Omega then.
Yeah. So AEW debuted on Max, the mother of all simulcasts. I have YouTube TV. Well, okay, let me be honest. I have my cousin's YouTube TV password. So I'm able to watch Dynamite usually on DVR. But I pay for Max. So I was like, I'm going to watch this damn thing on Max. So after it's over, I pull up Max and the shit is, I hear Carlos Cabrera. It's in Spanish. I'm like, what the hell? So I ended up having to pull up YouTube TV to watch the damn show. And then I checked it like an hour later, and thankfully the English version was back up. So I did get to check a little bit out of it, but what was your experience like? And what do you think of AEW on Max? What do you think of the new entrance song? And how do we feel about Cope?
So my feed was not great, but I think that's more on my unreliable rural internet than I was on Max, because I didn't see any complaints anywhere but me. So I think that was on my internet. I always have issues with the TBS app. So as long as we're good on my end, I think it's just going to be fine. The video quality was significantly better, right? And I liked that I could start the show, because I think I started at 9:45 Chicago time. So I was like 90 minutes behind, and I got to just rewind the live feed, and it played out great. So I'm glad that I'm free of the time constraints of what TBS does. So that was pretty cool. The show started, and I heard the Pointer Sisters, "I'm So Excited." And I'm watching this going, is this a fucking joke? Are they serious? The Pointer Sisters? I am a classic rock fan through and through. Like, I got my Spotify Wrapped. I had 60,000 hours of music listened to in 2024, because I just play it in the classroom all day long.
Yeah.
Right. I am in the top 0.01% of Pearl Jam listeners and the top 0.01% of Asia listeners in the world. I love classic music. Like, I love old school rock music. The fucking Pointer Sisters.
So with Elton John and Collision, that actually makes a ton of sense.
No, that's stupid too. We sugarcoat that. Like, Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting. No, that's dumb.
I like that song. I'm not a fan of the Pointer Sisters. I'm not like, you know, I'm not going to go buy their records. In fact, I think this is the only song I've ever heard of from the Pointer Sisters.
It's the only song anyone's ever heard from the Pointer Sisters.
But when it comes on in commercials and in movies, I'm like, oh yeah, this is, you know, fun. But as the entrance song to a wrestling TV show, it made no damn sense to me.
It didn't work. Okay. Here we go. This is, what do I teach? I teach video production. I have a film degree. I worked in this business for 20 years. My whole thing, I'm very proud of myself. I've, like, as far as like video editing wrestling videos goes, I have done, for amateur wrestling specifically, thousands upon thousands of highlight videos. I made very proud of myself for picking different songs, for making something work with, like, oh, that song, I didn't think that song would work. And I was always very proud of myself that I was able to do it. And I can tell you for a fact, the Pointer Sisters does not work to action high-paced wrestling. It is a terrible, terrible choice. I will go to my grave with this. I don't know what Tony's thinking. I hope it was a one-week thing. If we have the Pointer Sisters for the rest of time, I'm going to lose my goddamn mind.
Well, hopefully next week we can get It's a Rainin' Men. Hallelujah. Why not?
That's the Weather Girls, but I mean, you might as well be right there. Let's do Blame It on the Rain from Millie Vanilli. Like, why not that? How about the King of Wishful Thinking from Go West? Like, that's where we are with this. It's insanity.
Yeah, there was there were some really fragile white males on Twitter saying, you guys are just too much into your new metal rock to respect the Pointer Sisters. I'm like, shut the fuck up. We're not asking for new metal rock. It could be some hip hop, just something powerful, man. Come on. What the hell are we doing? This is action.
Like, okay, this is officially the second worst song to ever be used in a pro wrestling TV show. Nickelback, still, you know, can't rank anything below Nickelback. That was a terrible choice.
Still takes the cake.
Yeah,
I didn't really like the Across the Nation by Rev. Was it Rev Theory?
I remember that one. That was terrible too.
That one was pretty bad. Oh, hold on, Lady B has got some news for us.
Oh,
well, you know what? Let me hit the button. I'm gonna hit the button for this news.
Breaking news.
I love that.
Lady B says SRS is reporting that it's a permanent change. Cringe. Just Tony just likes the Pointer Sisters. What are we gonna do?
I quit this stupid promotion. Like, the Pointer Sisters, the fucking Pointer Sisters. Like, there's a million songs that are like, I'm so excited. It's not even, I give up.
Maybe for Collision, we should change to Saturday Night Fever. Maybe we should have that song.
Why not? How about Bay City Rollers? Yeah. SATURDAY Night.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with that one, Mike?
I don't. That one might be out of my wheelhouse.
Well, it's because it's awful. But yeah. I recommend. Can you share a YouTube video right now? Will we get nuked?
We'll get nuked. I don't mind nuking ours, but we'll nuke Rich and Joe's YouTube.
I don't want to screw Rich and Joe over.
Yeah. For those of you that are Patreon subscribers, JD and I are actually here pretty soon. Within the next 10 minutes or so, we're going to move over to Patreon and we're going to talk some Randy Savage in Memphis. So if we want to have illegal activity, we can do it over on Patreon because Patreon don't give a fuck. They'll let us do whatever we want.
$5 a month.
Yeah. After we get the Pointer Sisters, we go into like a pretty decent episode. I thought it's a really promo backstage kind of like all that stuff going on, but that's fun. This had some pretty good wrestling on it, but it was so bizarre that Adam Copeland just randomly decided to change his name to Cope.
It's like he missed having a one syllable name. Like he was Edge, and then he was Cope. It's funny. Cope was doing this, and the whole crowd is chanting, "Let's go, Adam!"
I did agree they have too many Adams in that promotion, and Roderick Strong killed off the name Adam to me forever. So
also true.
Yeah. But I mean, I think it was Brian Alvarez that said earlier this week. He's like, "Look, his nickname can be Cope, but the guy's name is Adam Copeland." Yeah. But if they want to just call him Cope in conversation, that's okay. But you still got to introduce him as Adam Copeland. What are we doing?
Well, it's like Bret Hart. Like people called him Hitman all the time, right? Yeah.
Like he has a nickname.
Yeah, you could call someone by their nickname. It's perfectly acceptable. But I mean, like, in the worst part is I have to listen to Excalibur say it. And I have lost all my tolerance for Excalibur. He's reaching Tony Schiavone in 2000 levels of cringe for me. Like, yeah. And Adam, when he's like, he is choosing me known as Cope. And it makes me hate it even more having to listen to Excalibur say it. I have so grown to hate him.
Yeah. I was an early hater of Excalibur.
You were right.
He over enunciates. His announcer voice is fake. I don't believe for a second that he really sounds like that. He sounds like he's doing a Mauro Ranallo impression. Mauro Ranallo, that's his real voice. I listened to Mauro Ranallo on the radio for years. That's just how he talks. Right, Excalibur is doing a Mauro Ranallo impression and a poor one at that. He's not as cheesy as Mauro. Mauro is a cheese ball and a half and likes all the pop culture references. But Excalibur he wants to over enunciate and overcall all the moves. I don't know, need to know every variation of the Diamond Cutter. Nobody cares what Dip Fuck calls his Diamond Cutter. Nobody cares. But Excalibur has to say all those things, and he has annoyed me since day one.
Yeah, I've grown to just simply loathe Excalibur. And I'm like, Ian Riccaboni is employed by this company. Why can't we listen to Ian Riccaboni every week?
Yeah, I think Ian Riccaboni is really good. You know what? And I know that he got fired for being kind of a dipshit, but I thought Kevin Kelly was good. I have never had a problem with Kevin Kelly. I like Kevin Kelly.
I didn't think Kevin Kelly in AEW was great. I loved Kevin Kelly in Ring of Honor and New Japan. I think he just didn't fit into that company, personally.
You know what? I agree with this sentiment. AEW needs to call Walker Stewart. I would make him announcer number one right now.
I am pretty sure that the New Japan people would absolutely hate Tony for that one. But I agree. Walker Stewart is excellent.
Yeah. And he's only like 23 years old.
Yeah. He's a kid.
Yeah. He's just a baby, but he sounds like a grown ass man. And he did such a good job at Wrestle Kingdom. I think if they don't got any paper on that guy, I think an American promotion is probably going to pick him up. He's just so damn good. Like he really is great.
Yeah, quickly. I hope AEW can get him before WWE tries. Because I'd rather see him in AEW than doing the Vince. Even though Vince is gone, they still do the Vince verbiage stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, they just brought in Joe Tessitore, and I got a chance to listen to him the other day, and he actually is really good. He's probably, as far as play-by-play announcers, I don't think it's going to be before too long that he might be the best. If they just let him be Joe Tessitore, he was really good in college football and really good on Monday Night Football, and he's actually really good in wrestling, and so... He is kind of a step above everybody as far as professionalism goes.
Now, yeah, I agree with that. The problem is anytime WWE signs somebody that's from the outside, it doesn't work because they try to fit them in the mold. I mean, maybe they can get away from that a little bit with this one.
I think when they've done that before, they were signing a lot of lower level guys that were not as big time as Joe Tessitore. Joe Tessitore is big time. It's like, he's not as famous as Joe Buck, but he's like, as far as like announcers for like real sports, like he's like right up there.
I get that, but we're in the Triple H era.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and yeah, but they also have the Lee Fitting, right? Who is the guy directing all this stuff. Yeah. Which turns out he's a creep.
Hey, Nick Khan's a scumbag. He knows a bunch of scumbags. None of us can be surprised by that.
Yeah. Well, Nick Khan was also Skip Bayless's agent. There's accusations out on him today too. So And Nick Khan kind of like delves into that world a little bit. So, I just can't say enough good things about Joe Tessitore. And when they signed him, everybody's like, they're always signing these like real sports guys and bringing them in. They don't know pro wrestling. Like, yeah, but you don't know Joe Tessitore. Like, this guy is like big time. Like, and he's actually doing a really good job.
Is he Raw or SmackDown?
He was Raw. He's doing SmackDown. Michael Cole is going to be the Netflix guy. So Michael Cole will be Raw. And then Tessitore, SmackDown. So
I'm half tempted to watch the first Raw on Netflix, even though I hate the company. Like, I'm so interested because I saw what the ring is going to look like with all the sponsorship all over it. And it's just so foreign for what a WWE ring looks like to me. I'm actually mildly curious to see this. I'm half debating because we make our kid pay for Netflix because he wanted Netflix so we could watch One Piece. So yeah. My wife and I said, okay, fine, you're going to pay for it. And he was like, I got this. So we're making our 8-year-old pay for Netflix. He's learning responsibility. Dude,
what a hero. I love that.
He got a $50 comic book. We go to the comic book store. He got a $50 gift card from the comic book store and was like, he wanted this big $45 book. And he was like torn to sunder because he realized he would only have $5 left on his gift card. And he was like struggling. So the idea was to teach our son financial responsibility. And like, he's figuring it out. I'm very proud of him. But yeah, so as long as my kid's paying for Netflix, I thought maybe I'll check it out. I don't know.
So they're in the Intuit Dome in Los Angeles tomorrow night. And they have over 16,000 seats sold, tickets sold for that. They're doing a big thing. They had a big drone thing with a bunch of WWE stuff all over LA last night. It wasn't the Chinese invading us like they have been doing. I know what you're doing, China. I know those drones are you guys over New Jersey, over all our military bases. I know that's you. I've seen the documents. But anyway, this was actually Netflix doing a big drone show.
Oh, you can tell retiring from the service is getting a little too comfortable.
Yeah. Once I get my DD form 214, I'm going to tell some secret. I don't have any secret. Don't tell me shit. But anyway, they did a big drone show. They have over 16,000 tickets sold, and WrestleTix, of course, put that up there. Less than 300 still available. So naturally, I quote tweeted it and said, "Wow, can't even sell it out."
How many?
I got the Fed heads like after me. It's like, you idiot, and like somebody is making excuses for them not being able to sell. It's like, oh, these tickets are way too expensive. Of course, they can't sell out, but they're still really hot. I'm like, it's a joke. Of course, they're hot. We talked about last week the WWEs might have peaked already. I think we might have jumped the gun on that one because they're killing it right now. They had a bunch of sellouts everywhere. They went head-to-head with AEW World's End last week and sold more tickets in the same city than AEW's pay-per-view. They're still hot, okay? Like, so, but they're coming after me right now. I got the Fed heads after me. So
I do think they've peaked. I think that after this year's WrestleMania, because now we're in the hot season, right? This is WWE's, like, this is when they go from, like, January through WrestleMania, because now we're gearing up. This Netflix thing is big. They're pushing it hard. Of course, you're gearing up for the Rumble, and then you're leading that into WrestleMania. So I do, like I said, I hear the voice of the youth, and the voice of the youth is telling me that it's not as cool as it used to be.
Yeah.
So we got to see. I'll give it 6 months to see if the kids are accurate or not.
So they got The Rock. Yeah. They got The Rock that's going to be on Netflix tomorrow. They got John Cena, of course, Cody Rhodes. There's a rumor, well, not a rumor, WWE teased on Tuesday on NXT that Joe Hendry might actually be there. So lots of stars are coming out. Even Joe Hendry might be there on Netflix. So it's going to be a big thing. I'm going to watch it. If you watch it and we're able to get together, let's talk about it this week. Some point.
We could use some, yeah, I'm sure I'll just shit on it. So let's do that. It might be kind of fun for people.
Yeah. I don't know when we'd be able to, but we should probably, at least try to take a look at it now that we both have.
Worst comes worst, we can cover it for the show next week. You know, we might, if this is, because there's a chance it's a slow news week. Nothing has happened in pro wrestling in the last like 2 months.
Yeah, really. It's, I've had like a lot of TNA stuff lately, But even that like slowed down over the weekend. I kind of yesterday's show, I kind of struggled to get through it. There was just wasn't much talk about. I just reviewed the show.
Dude, there's nothing going on. Like it's so weird. Like a year ago, I felt like there was a major thing breaking like every single week. Like I remember we talked about it. Like this is like wrestling was great. Like our numbers were through the roof. Like, yeah. But it's been boring lately. Like it really kind of has. Like everything's kind of settled. Like it's neat that AEW and WWE have literally transitioned into a new era. Like we are totally in the streaming era of professional wrestling right now. Like,
yeah.
Everything is different. It really is. Like now the ratings talk is useless, right? Ratings talk should be dead from here on out.
Yes.
Because we don't know.
We don't know. I get the feeling that AEW fans are going to try to tell us that there's like a million people watching on Max, and there's not. Just like there was not a million people watching Saturday Night's Main Event on Peacock. That was not true. So, numbers are going to continue to dwindle. The talk is going to be dead. But, you know, look, journalists need stories, and those typically get clicked on, so we're going to still get more of those, and it's unfortunate, but that's just the way that it is. Goodfella says, Intuit Dome looks really cool. It's the brand new Clippers Arena. The LEDs everywhere, so that fits in with what WWE likes to do with LED. And they got CM Punk and Seth Rollins are headlining the show. Yeah, so that's
going to be big.
That's going to be a big draw, man. There's over 50,000 tickets sold for the Rumble, says Transferring Heat. So yeah.
Where's Rumble again? What arena? What stadium's Rumble in?
Indianapolis. In where the Colts play.
I forget what they call it. Lucas Oil? Is that what it is?
Lucas Oil Stadium. Yeah, it's where the Colts play. More people are going to go to the Royal Rumble than go to Colts games because Colts are terrible right now.
Are terrible. I ain't talking about anybody's football team. The Bears won a game against the Packers who didn't try.
Yeah, well, they should not have won that game. That's a stupid idea. They need the draft picks. Thankfully, the 49ers tanked against the Cardinals and sat everybody and played their third string quarterback just to make sure that they would lose today.
I will be the Bears, they should just sell the damn team. The McCaskies are awful. The worst owners in pro sports. If Ryan Poles has a job at the end of the season, I'll be astonished. But they probably will because Chicago sports are bad and I'm being punished for liking the Bears in the 80s, I guess.
One of my favorite memes is like, men pick their favorite sports teams when they're like 11, and then they're just tortured by them the rest of their lives. And goddamn, is that true?
So fucking true. I've been tortured by the Chicago White Sox and the Chicago Bears my entire existence. And I lived through the Bulls being amazing and didn't give a fuck.
You just weren't a basketball guy?
Nah, I'm a wrestler. Like, never really been into basketball.
When I was a kid, I was a big basketball guy. I played basketball, but I was a big Jordan fan. And then Jordan retires and I got out of basketball for a little bit. And then Kobe starts to get hot with the Lakers. And so that brought me back. And then he retired and I just haven't. And then he fucking died. So I really haven't been a big basketball fan since then. I'm more of a basketball highlights guy. So that's about it for my basketball fandom.
I think we just took it for granted here in Chicago. Cause I was at that, like I was four when Jordan was drafted, and when he retired, I think I was a senior in high school. So it was like literally as I was growing up, and we just kind of took it for granted. Like, yeah. I didn't really care, but I knew that it was going on. Like, I watched all the playoff game stuff because it was just like happening. Like, it's just what you did. And I don't know. I never was like emotional about it. Yeah. But, you know, the Bears, they lose and like the fucking town shuts down. So, like, yeah. It's been like that for the last 20 years. I became a podcast guy because I remember one Monday I was listening to Bears Talk Radio after a loss. And I remember I pulled my car over and said, I can't do this to myself anymore. It ruins my day listening to these people be miserable all the time. Mm-hmm. And then I started listening to Steve Austin's podcast. And then I was a podcast guy from there on out.
Wasn't his podcast great?
Yes, it was. It was.
I loved that podcast. I was sad when it went away, but
yeah, he was great. He was a great podcaster.
That brother just likes messing around with his cats and his roosters and all that stuff on his farm. And
dude, he's enjoying retirement. Like, good for him. Like, he can walk. He kept his money. He's fixed himself, right? Like, he had some real problems there during the height of his run. And he left pro wrestling and became a better person. Like, I think we should just let Steve Austin just be happy and live a good life. I'm so happy that he was able to come out of wrestling relatively healthy and, you know, got mentally healthy, and he's a better man. Like, I'm happy for him.
I'm happy for Steve too. I'm happy for you, JD. I hope you had a good holiday season.
You too.
I hope everybody had a good new year. We're starting the new year's off right. So please plop down $5, head to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Leave us a 5-star review, all that good stuff. And tell Rich and Joe that you like our show. That would mean a lot to me. I don't know that they know that you guys like us. So just get, you know, drop them a line every once in a while. Hey, Mike and JD are good. So, but that's going to do it for us this week on the Mike and JD show. We're actually going to take a break and head over to Patreon where we're going to talk Macho Man Randy Savage, International Championship Wrestling, the feud with Memphis, and then him coming over to take on Jerry Lawler in Memphis. So we're talking some Randy Savage over on Patreon right after this. And until next time. Sorry, I lost my brain for a second.
You talked like, what are we doing?
I just forgot what I was doing. All right, everybody. And until next time, mahalo.
Competition's starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A made no rain from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game. Better bring your A game. Competition's starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A made no rain.
If we ever get news.
Hey, kids, do you like wrestling? Well, we like wrestling, too. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Myself and Chris Novembrino kind of doing a lazy river of wrestling criticism, going through the news and whatever happened in stateside television wrestling. And also, you know what? Sometimes we just like to watch old stuff and talk about that, too. Love for you to give us a listen. If you haven't already, we are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.